motion.
Call us back to order?
Give him time. Give him time to get it on.
We're ready.
We're ready?
Okay.
Roll.
I make a motion that Jim Strophas be the delegate, or the,
Delegate.
Appointment for the Taney County Commission to the MAC Board.
For the commission.
For the commission. I said that.
Second. Aye.
Aye.
I guess abstain.
Motion carries.
Then I'll put the other two commissioners out there to be voted on, and I'll have to have seven votes.
For this?
I have to have seven votes by the elected officials, so I'll try and contact everybody, see who's gonna go and who's not gonna go, and,
Perfect.
Put that together and get the ballot ready.
Perfect. Then are we good with that then?
I am so good with that. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
I would, prefer that you pull my name from consideration.
That's fine.
You mean there's got to be seven other delegates, and our names are thrown in there as one of them?
We have a total of 10 because of the size of our county.
Right.
Jim is going to be one, and he'll be the one for the commissioner, and then there'll be nine.
Oh, you're
others.
Not talking about the two that get served on the MAC.
The other board.
No, this is for that vote that we have when
right.
they bring up the resolutions and whatnot at the meeting.
Well, forget my last comment then, because
okay.
I thought you were talking about the two to be sent to the regular MAC meetings.
Now, this is for the national annual conference.
Right.
Not
the one that always happens in November at Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that one vote, and I have to get this all done in advance so we can have the full members. Not everybody shows up, but we do have a total of 10 that we can have for our county.
Not less than seven elected officials.
There you go.
All right. Perfect, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we ready to do some administrative with Frank?
Well, I don't know. What time is it?
10:20. We have
what, 10:30
budget.
I don't think we've got anything until 4 o'clock.
10:30 budget. Is that not today?
Oh, is that on there today?
What is?
10:30 budget?
No.
Okay.
That was on. That was maybe on your calendar, but that got changed to Monday because Rick's not available.
Okay.
So we are... Sure. You're done, Bob. You said figure out some paperwork, right? For us to sign something?
Right. But then you have something else?
I canceled everything. I moved it to Monday.
Okay.
You've been
canceled.
No, you weren't on the agenda.
I know, but he was. I told him about the animal control deal.
Oh, okay.
And he
yeah.
said he just waited for Jim Berry.
Jim Berry's supposed to be back out Monday, I think.
Transfer.
Figure out whatever is left in that budget and transfer.
Cool. All right.
We'll take care of it.
So I have nothing else this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope. Do that paperwork so we can sign it.
Well, I have something for administrative that I wanted to talk to you about.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, presiding commissioner.
I guess it'll be all right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to react like that. I was reading the audit report. And I was wondering about having NAS 90 in my office this next year, 2010. I wasn't here privy to the conversation we had, but I know the conversation that I had with him early on this year. And wanted to know the feeling of the commission, if that'd be something that we could do. I was talking to Rick earlier about NAS 200. You can go online to Sage and look at that, and that would improve the productivity of the county tremendously. And, of course, this is what they're telling us. I understand that, based on the conversation with Rick, that he wasn't necessarily satisfied the last time we did an update. But it would allow additional users, would use the same database that we have currently, but it works on a server, and there's less traffic. They described it as having Mack trucks passing each other with large amounts of data with Mass 200. It's like a motorcycle traveling back and forth carrying the data because the data is accessed on the server and not brought into your actual computer. And so that would make it work faster for all users. and would allow, and I know Frank in the past had asked to have access to Mass and ID as well. So,
Rick, weren't those licenses pretty expensive last year? I mean, if I'm saying, I looked into it in January. Yeah, well, you're learning. We're training you.
Wow, he's good. Yeah, would you speak into the mic, please?
The last year, I think figuring that you was going to get just one, you can't get just one. You have to get, I think
five
it comes
groups
in
five,
groups of five, I believe it's right. And I don't know, I don't remember the number, but it seemed like it would, you know, that to get another set was going to cost us somewhere in the neighborhood of $60,000, $75,000, something like that. You know, the Mass 200 would be a fantastic deal to have, but, you know, you guys have heard me say already we're looking for $1.5 million to balance this budget, and I couldn't suggest that you do that at all, but, you know, it's your call for sure. As far as choosing the accounting system, if you suggest that I look at Mass 200, say yes, we're wanting to spend the money, then I would look at it, but I do statutorily choose the accounting system, so I would make the choice.
Right.
Okay.
Could you, Rick, just for discussion purposes, maybe next week or the week following, tell me what it would, I mean, I think Mass 90 probably is serving our needs in a downturn in the economy. We probably could wait another year or two, probably. Could we make it work?
Mass 90 does a real good job for us. The only thing it doesn't do is the thing that Donna has said is we can't just put it out there for whoever wants
right,
to look at it.
It's not a client server. You know,
now, what I do to try to keep that taken care of is I send out, and you guys got them this morning, I think, I send out monthly reports. Uh-huh. You get those monthly. And if you need anything, I think Frank's been over in the office and asked for things, and I hope I'm providing anything he needs when he needs it and everybody else at the same time. So it's more, to me, a little bit of convenience than it is anything else. And, yes, I'd love to have it if it works the way it should. And,
right.
And Donna was telling you the last time we upgraded, they told us that FRX was the best thing since I don't know what, and I got news for you, it wasn't. But we're getting used to FRX now and working with it, and, you know, we can do the things that we need to do. So I can get some numbers for you, though.
I'm just, if you would do just the numbers of an upgrade and the numbers of just adding additional Mass 90 users, just so I know what we're talking. I mean, if we're talking $1,000 or 10,000 license, I think Mass 90, years ago, used to deal in that, and it was pretty expensive per client license, but... but if you could at least give me that, I would at least have an intelligent. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Don. I just
I'll get those numbers. I'll try to email them to all three of them, get your numbers, and get them to you so you can know what those are.
I mean, of course, like I said, my conversation was with our outside auditor,
sure.
Andy Marmishay, and it had to do with my office being responsible for helping with the financial report, and it doesn't seem very logical that I could be responsible for that but not have access to it. Now, Rick does. Send me the monthly reports. He certainly does. But it's not something that's easily for me to go in and look to see if there are any problems or changes that would need to be made for that financial statement because it's not a product that's in my office. The difference between the Mass 90 and the Mass 200 is Mass 200 is designed to allow for additional users without taxing the program. And in fact, it increases the speed to all users. I don't think it would be wise for us to go to additional users on Mass 90 when Mass 200 clearly would improve the speed for all users. It wouldn't bog down the auditor's office if we were to add additional users. Currently, if we were to do that right now, I mean, they recommend a max of 10 users on Mass 90. So if we added another module, we would still be taxing their office when they were at their busiest
time.
Okay,
so really the question really is, can we look into upgrading Mass 200? Is really, that's the question?
I mean, logically.
Numbers as well as the other.
Okay. Okay, so I understand.
I would agree with Don. I think to try to move more people into Mass 90.
Well, it's an old system, too. I mean, I understand that. So, okay, why don't you at least check into that? I mean, if it's... Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just going by the suggestions that I spoke with Andy Marmishay about, and
right.
If the commission still feels that that's something you don't want me to do, then
you know, I'm not going to buck the system.
Okay. All right. Let's let us know, Rick, I guess.
I will.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rick.
Mr. Preston, what do you know?
To the best of my knowledge, chip seal program will be completed, was completed yesterday. We did pull off three short sections of road due to the fact that they weren't quite ready for the chip seal program. So even though we started off with a lot of problems with the machine and had some weather-related issues, the crews did step up to the plate, and in most instances that I've seen, I'm pleased with the work. Once again, we could make more improvements in our chip seal prep. I have found some evidence of things that I would have liked to have seen prepped prior to the chip seal itself, but overall, I'm pleased with this year's chip seal program.
I wanted to follow up. I had a conversation yesterday about that one stretch of road that we had bad oil on.
Yes.
I guess there's more vehicles being damaged on it, I was told as of yesterday, and that this individual called MoDOT to see what the proper procedure to remedy the problem, and MoDOT told them there needs to be a physical scrape off and reapplication of new. I was told that wasn't the way we're doing it, because it looks like the product actually ended up setting, and we're just going to asphalt the steep section and then re-chip and seal the old, and I guess we're going to brush off and redo. Are you satisfied with that?
I would have a hard time believing that the current conditions are causing
additional damage
okay. to vehicles. Otherwise, I think I would have heard about it. We added a smaller aggregate to the initial chip seal, which sort of acted as a blotter and a barrier for the oil to not come through to the surface and cause more damage. At this point in time, it's been a wait and observe and look at it every day or every several days to see the condition. We had a similar instance on Foxglove this year, almost identical circumstances, and the tactic that we used there with the smaller aggregate and then crushing that into the surface worked well. We had a representative from Jernigan Asphalt out there yesterday on plantation to look at the steepest portion of the hill, and it was their recommendation that based on the fact that the oil has cured with a thorough cleansing and removal of all loose aggregate, that a overlay was the proper thing to do to
on
that.
On the steep hill?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. I missed part of your conversation there when you said that you talked to MoDOT or they talked to MoDOT?
They talked to MoDOT.
Okay.
This individual who was a resident talked to our county counselor to talk about their course of action.
Okay.
And that's when I got kind of re-involved. I don't remember asking how we...
I've got a comment about that. Yeah, so. If that be the case, why didn't MoDOT re-scrape from Forsyth to Douglas County line whenever they put the dust on there that choked the individuals, the cattle, and everything else? They didn't re-scrape and redo their surface.
Right.
So I have a hard time believing that this person can trust the words of re-scraping the roads
right.
from MoDOT. If that's what MoDOT told them, I think she needs to call them back and ask them that very question. And if you'll give me their name, I'll call her in or him and tell them that.
Okay.
Because they seem to be very useful with advice that they don't use themselves.
Okay.
In regards to the chip seal program, as I stated, it's essentially done. The beginning of the season, we had 3.5 weeks of problems with the new machine, and the manufacturer agreed that at the end of the season, they would come to our facility and make more permanent remedies to some of the things that I would call a field fix that they did out in the field. Since the final visit from them to address the issues, it's to my knowledge we've not had a hiccup with that machine, and it's worked flawlessly since that point in time. In regards to plantation claims, Coastal has stepped up to the plate. I did have a representative come up from down from Springfield this week to talk to me about the claims, and we've resolved all of the claims except for one, and there are seven cars have been cleaned and are to the satisfaction of the customer. Three additional cars by one owner, whom I won't mention.
Please don't mention anybody's name.
Correct. Would like his vehicles to be done by a professional detailing shop. And then I have one owner, of which I have the claim here, which is asking for, one claim is $4,100 and one claim is $4,400. In meeting with a representative from Coastal, he is denying this claim and will not seek to move forward on it. He thinks it might possibly be questionable as to this person's claims. It was a white Jeep with a convertible top. He's claiming that his check engine light came on due to the chip seal. He's claiming that the marker light came off due to the chip seal.
So if they're denying it, that is between them and Coastal, and we're not part of it.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That's the direction that you gave me last time.
And I think our legal counsel would sue. Now, we may be, if there's a lawsuit, we may be listed on there, but we can't be the primary since they're...
Okay.
You may want to let our county counsel know of that.
We'd get some kind of paperwork from Coastal accepting all the other claims and a refusal of this claim. So that it shows that we're not involved.
You didn't say anything about him making an offer, reasonable offer or anything like that? Or
They would negotiate with the gentleman in regards to some of the issues that he's talking about, but they would not go to the full extent of what he's asking for. Several weeks ago, you asked the question, what does it's not uncommon in Eastern Taney County for us to supply, I believe, a five-strand barbed wire fence with some metal posts. So I had Randy put together that estimate, and county forces, in putting together a standard fence that we build for everyone, a cost for a mile is $15,312. And I asked him to get me an estimate from a reputable fence company that's knowledgeable with this area, the terrain, and the conditions here. And their price for 1 mile of same materials, same fence, was $29,382. So I made a copy of this. So this sort of gives us an understanding of the amount of money that we're putting into acquiring easements. If indeed it is such that the fence is the majority of the improvements that we make on any particular property.
That's taking out fence and replacement of fence.
This is just installing.
That's correct.
Right, but I want to make sure that we made a statement there that is not the purchase of easement. There is existing fence when we apply this application.
Correct. Yeah. I misstated that.
That's the way I want it. Yeah,
nomination. Right.
And along with that, Danny.
Yeah, Grand Danny.
Caught me on a bad mood there. Bad.
D A N N E.
Danny made a correction there, and I stand to be corrected. The actual, in most cases, there's an existing fence line that we're replacing, and along with that old fence line, there may be a hedgerow or a line of trees also. So that's not
that's
truly,
not included in this,
that's
right?
Not included in that. I was trying to compare apples to apples on a bare piece of land.
Right. And, but at least we know what we're spending, though.
I do have a question about that. We started this five barb deal at a request of a landowner, and it used to be four, and they wanted five, and then we just continued with five. And so there is some reduction there that if we went back to the four barbed wire that we used in the past. We had one property owner that was a little bit hard to negotiate with and wanted five barbs, and mm-hmm. so we just continued that. A four barbed wire fence is plenty sufficient for any fence taken out in most cases. I think this person may have had a five barbed wire fence in a place, and we just went ahead and done it, and then we ended up doing five barbs. That doesn't need to be the case.
Okay. It sounds like you requesting that we go back to a
standard,
a former standard of four wire,
right?
Four strand fence.
And I do ask a question of you too. This price, is this when calculated at a time when steel was at its premium, or is this price
it's
current?
It's current.
It's current. Okay. Because I do know that steel post at one time reached almost $5 and a piece. And
I have a question. I see track hoe and loader. How is it that track hoe and loader is needed for $3,600 and build a fence?
Off the top of my head, a scenario I would imagine would be that in moving the right-of-way line back, the terrain was different than at the road side, where it was flat and level and contiguous with the road or ditch line, and installing a fence line in most of our terrain involves moving of material to create that transition from the old right-of-way to the new right-of-way.
I mean, you got to clear the land where you're putting the fence, too. I mean, nothing else. So.
Yeah, but I think I have a little bit of a question on that, is the fact that we're acquiring easement, we're doing the work, whether the fence went up or not, why should that cost be included? We're not going to leave a shoulder of a road with an easement to the outside if it's not presentable to the public. And you use a track hoe and a loader. You might use a track hoe to pull trees that were existing, but you'd use a track hoe to pull those same trees if you were trying to do the easement shoulder anyway.
That's probably a correct statement, yeah.
And you'd use a loader in the same situation. So I would guess that those two items could either be either taken off or reduced to a we're talking about per mile.
Per
is
mile.
That what we're done?
Yes.
And those two items could be reduced to a fraction of what they are, because we're not going out to the person that doesn't have a fence or doesn't need a fence. We're not leaving their property in the condition. It's the same condition as if you put a fence in, is what I'm trying to get around to. Where the shoulders are cleaned up to the edge of the easement, and that's where the fence goes. Right. You see what I'm saying, Jim?
No. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is if we have to put a new fence in, there'd probably be trees or shrub brush or whatever we're going to have to clear out to create the line just for the fence.
No, you're not seeing that right. If you have a fence row here, or say this is the road, and we add to the easement, they donate the easement.
Right, we move back
okay.
the fence.
Say there's no fence. Okay. We clean back to the easement line, and we clean it back, and we leave it presentable to the public, just as if there was a fence there. So if there's a fence there, we take the fence and the brush and everything out the same as if there was no fence there.
Right.
So those costs would be added to the project of the road cost, not to the fence cost.
Do we clean all the way to the easement, edge of the easement line, Frank?
In most cases, yes.
Then you're right. We don't need those costs in there.
You could reduce those to a minimum if you wanted to, but I wouldn't even enter them in there. What it does, it makes it look like you're doing some people a favor and some people not a favor when you leave them in there.
And on the subject, you could go farther because we got a dump truck and we got a truck driver. We got two operators.
Well, when they're building the fence, they'll need those. Probably.
A dump truck?
They wouldn't need the dump truck, but they would need it takes at least three good men.
They've got them above that, though.
Okay, I got glasses on there.
Right.
But you see what I'm saying?
And plus, we're comparing to a fence company that's only building fence at $27,000 or $29,000. They're not doing any of that. They're just building fence. In fact, they're not even. That's good digging and post-cropping conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then I'd be more pleased with removing those numbers, and our costs would be the cost of doing business and building fences would be more in our favor.
Yeah.
With these numbers removed.
Right.
You're leaving?
Oh yeah. I can listen in on this.
Well,
then where are you going, man? I mean,
I got a track call on a piece of property. I got to go babysit.
Don't want them taking the house down? Or
I don't want them taking anything more down.
Where are we at on what we're doing?
We're on bonus time. This is Frank time.
Okay, this is Frank time, bonus
time.
But
this is because we didn't schedule Frank time. We can give Frank some time.
Okay.
We can hold off.
I can listen in.
Some of the things, that this one in particular is a proposal for next year's asphalt pavement maintenance program that I'd rather.
I'm going to look at it in budget time.
Right, okay.
We could just put them on at 3:30 on Monday if you want to give them more time. What do you want to do?
Well, on this issue that he's talking about, how many other things do you have on your list?
Some are just informational, can be quick.
Okay, those are fine. But on this, I want to hear about the other deal when we go to figuring budget, because requests for equipment, cost, and all those things.
Will everybody be available by phone this afternoon?
Yeah.
For the
MoDOT, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
Are you on now?
Yeah.
What else was I going to ask before you got away?
This is a picture that Mr. Lundstrom sent me of the property in front of, that was just under discussion. There is a ditch line.
Yeah.
Well, that's where it goes on that, under the
fiddle.
Yeah.
I'm on. I'm just okay. You do that back in here.
Are you headed completely out now?
Yeah.
Leaving the premises?
I went to.
All right.
Are you going to let him do it? Or?
I don't know.
No argument? Or?
No. Well, you can't go.
Have a nice afternoon, sir. We'll miss you.
No, you won't miss
Probably me. Not long.
Call me. I'll listen in.
What else you got information-wise?
Information-wise, the county's SAM site is in the middle of painting about 60 to 75% of our road markings based on need. It's done on an annual basis, and you may or may not have noticed that the state is in the middle of doing the same thing at the same time. It's not uncommon to receive several claims during this season, the painting season. Prior to painting, and actually the very first day of painting, I met with the crews and made sure that we were following all the recommended procedures, in such as road signs, a follow me car, a wet paint ahead vehicle, and there's just instances where people blatantly drive across wet paint that we have no control over. So when claims do come forward, it's difficult to investigate those. For one reason, the state's doing it at the same time that we are. They go home and recognize that they have white or yellow paint on their vehicle, and it's just a difficult one to investigate. So I want to let you know that we are in the middle of that. Danny, Randy and I went to Lightning Springs this past week. I do have some photographs of that issue, but I'd like to meet with you one-on-one. There's a supposed issue that's been outstanding there for a long time. There are some very large trees directly beside the pavement. My recommendation would be to take down those. They're in our right-of-way. They almost touch what's the white line, which is called the fog line, and I think it would make a significant improvement in safety in that particular stretch of road. Also, just beyond that straight stretch, there is a road called Davidson Road, where people are doing about 45 miles an hour, and Davidson has a very significant critical blind spot where it's not a safe situation.
I looked at it, discussed it. I've had conversations about it. I'm in total agreement with you. I just need to get approval. We just need to go ahead and get approval from the commission, but we need to take that. The gentleman that bought that place is going to put a fence up. Once he puts that fence up, we'll not be able to get in there and do that tree removal. He needs to be contacted and go ahead and get that safety stretch there taken care of for sure.
Okay.
Are you in agreement with that, Chuck?
I'm with me.
It's a real safety issue, and he's fixing to build a fence out there. And he said, "Once, gentlemen, I'm giving you all this time. I've got to build the fence. Once the fence is up, I can't let you come in here and push them big trees over and tear my fence down." So,
you asked me, Danny, but I'm in agreement too.
Oh, I forgot about you because I was fixing to say some things, but I'm glad that you come on there.
I thought you were muted where all you could do is hear. I didn't know you could talk back.
Oh, yeah, I can talk back.
All right.
Okay, I'll mute again.
I would like to show you some photographs and discuss the details of that particular
site. Right.
But there are some issues out there.
I can go with you down there. I've been there.
Okay.
Looked at it. And we need to get it. We need to get it done.
Okay.
Before you go to your next one, Frank, Jim, the IDA 4 o'clock. I called and Joan called me back. Left her a message. Is that something? I didn't ask enough questions. Do we need to be there for that?
Not that I'm aware of. Do you hear me all right?
Yeah. So far as you know, that was just put on in case we wanted to be there type of thing?
Yeah, there is nothing that I'm aware of. I've been talking to Ken about other things. From what I understand, there's really nothing that we have to do. I mean, there's only thing we'll have to do maybe Monday or Tuesday. Well, Monday is that resolution for the recovery zone bond. But beyond that, no.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Next one.
It's my understanding in talking with Jernigan this morning that the parking lot behind planning and zoning and the what we refer to as the triangle portion are both being paved today, and that will be followed up with some finishing off of the slope so that the transition from the parking lot to the slope is presentable from the lower side, and we can plant some grass there and just present itself better. And then we would follow that with parking curbs and angle parking. Just to delineate and make it look like a parking lot and prevent the vehicles from, in the event they were not in gear, brakes not engaged, they would prevent it from the vehicles going over the other side. Along with that paving today, Pine Top, the first little over 2,000 lineal feet of Pine Top is at a very steep grade, similar to Plantation and possibly steeper in certain parts. We mentioned this about 4 or 6 weeks ago, that this portion should be paved, and it is being paved today. It is used by a lot more people than it was in the past, and once that is complete, then the improvements, since I've been here, Pine Top started right at about the time that I was here, and we've made significant improvements for the residents up on Pine Top. Plantation, as we touched on earlier, is a similar situation. I think what we're learning through this process is that there's a certain grade in Taney County that once you reach beyond that certain grade, that a chip seal is not the appropriate.
Question: you mentioned Plantation.
Yes.
I told Randy that I had a gentleman at Launch, a lawyer, talking to us about Plantation Road.
Merrill? He called.
Bob, I brought that up already.
Oh, sorry.
He called, actually, now that we understand who we're talking about, he did call our office, and I explained to him what we're currently doing and what our anticipated moves are once the oil cured. So it's my understanding in our conversation that he was pleased with the route that we were going to choose.
Sorry.
Okay.
You're listening in again.
What? How much do you have of, how are we doing on budget, and you know what we're spending on asphalt this year?
I don't have those figures for you right at the top of my head. I could have them by the next time we meet. Rick, as he stated earlier, I walk in and any, without making an appointment, I walk in usually and talk to Rick and spend anywhere from 5 minutes to a half hour, 45 minutes discussing budget issues, and he helps me stay in line and make sure that we're watching the budget.
That's all.
We are well within the percentages on all our line items to meet this year's budget. Some of the things, we have several budget line items, one being lubrication, where we may have budgeted $12,500, and we may be doubling that figure by the end of the year, and that's because we've changed the frequency that we do just a service maintenance on our vehicles. Overall, in the three or four line item budgets that I'm talking about, the overages will probably be less than $50,000, and there are other line items where we will have hundreds of thousands of dollars left in the line items. So overall, I'm comfortable with the progress of the budget this year. The next little report I have for you, I can print you copies of this if you like, but it's Mr. Ryder provided this for me, and it's all of the roads that have been taken in since 2007, or basically since the time that I arrived on the job, just a little bit before. There were some in April. The total is 11.5 miles, and in the cost for the work that we've done to those, it averages out to $35,000 per mile. Now, a lot of those are significant improvements made. The ones that are costly are significant improvements made due to the condition of the roads, such as Mohawk would be a good example, or an extreme example of the type of terrain that we have to deal with sometimes in taking in these roads. A significant portion of those costs are manpower and equipment, just like we talked about in the fence. If we took out the manpower, under the assumption that our county employees would be here anyways doing something for that 8 or 10 hour day, that cost of $35,000 would be reduced by the amount of the labor cost. And the fuel cost, we're using a number that was provided to us from FEMA for equipment costs, and it's my guess that the FEMA numbers, based on per hour usage for any particular piece of equipment, I think that FEMA numbers run high. I think our internal actual costs will vary on the lower side of the FEMA numbers.
But the $35,000 figure has FEMA numbers in it.
FEMA equipment charges. Yes, yes.
So it might actually be a little less than that.
That's my assumption at this point in time.
But say that again. We took in 11 miles.
Since April of 2007, we've taken 11.5 miles in.
And when you add it all up, it figures approximately $35,000 per mile.
That's correct.
Okay.
Several weeks ago, Mr. Pendle, you asked me to bring up in one of these meetings Hickory and Ridge.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm doing that again today.
Thank you very much. You still out there, Jim? He's listening to the radio, I guess.
Hey,
this is on your side, I think, off of Reinhardt Road, I think the subdivision's Hidden Meadow or something like that. We maintain, they looked it up for me, I don't have it in front of me, but we maintain quite a bit of meadow or hidden. Anyway, the main road that goes in there, and then there's a road that turns off to the right that we maintain. Then there's another road that turns off to the right with the cul-de-sac, maybe five houses or six, something like that, that was not included in maintenance. And then the rest of the main drag is not included in maintenance. I went out and drove them a few days ago, and you can't tell where we maintain and where we don't, which my way of thinking is they were built well, and I'd like to see us go ahead where we take that one short one in and take in the rest of it. It has a cul-de-sac also at the end.
Excuse me, Frank. I mean, when Chuck was saying we're not sure, we maintain part of the main road. Is that right?
It's a subdivision that when the roads we're taking in, there's a split that doesn't. It's a contiguous subdevelopment, and for one reason or another, the county took in half the streets and not the other half. And the condition of the pavement on the portion that Mr. Pennell is talking about is almost identical to the portion that was taken in.
So I'm saying that are we either maintaining the whole thing anyway?
No, we are
not maintaining any of it.
We are maintaining half of it.
Well, I know what we're saying officially, but the road conditions are the same. When we scrape, I mean, we're snow removal. Are we snow removing all of the part, or? I guess my ultimate question is, by taking it in, is it going to impact us at all?
Your first question was in regards to snow removal, and I'm not sure on that one. We are not supposed to be maintaining any roads that are not maintained by the county for snow removal, but as you probably well know, there have been instances where I have found that county plows will go an extra quarter mile or so. So I can't answer that one. And will there be additional maintenance? Yes, snow removal, and then ultimately, when the roads need their next treatment, it will add additional square footage to the overall project.
Has there been an application for taking it in? Or, you know?
We didn't find it when I was over there, and they pulled me up a map and showed what was on it, and we didn't find the original application. I'm sure, I assume there was, but we didn't find it. I would like to see us go ahead and take the whole thing in. You know, Bob says we don't have to have a petition, but if y'all aren't in favor of that, then I'll suggest to the folks to do another petition to take them in.
I don't know enough. I mean, are we... I know the area you're talking about. I don't know the specific road you're talking about. I mean, is it built out pretty much? That whole area is pretty built out.
It is.
Pretty much so. I think it would meet the guideline that we had as far as percentages, just off the top of my head.
I mean, how long a stretch are we talking?
I hear you, Jim. I wouldn't be comfortable in stating a number because I may be off. I'd say right. Half a mile, three quarters of a mile total, Mr. Pennell. Is that?
I would guess half, maybe.
Well, I'm open to it. Obviously, since we're already doing most of the subdivision, if you can give me some information, at least I can understand the facts. But yeah, I'm open to it since we're already doing most of that subdivision.
I can put together a little package and have it ready for the three of you for my next meeting next week.
Okay. That's not a big piece of research that you get for me.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not, I'll just provide a map and show you some, maybe an aerial or something.
Okay.
Can you drive it, Jim? It's out there, your direction.
Oh, I know where you're at. I mean, I've been on that road. I've got some friends that live out in that area, so you've I know the area. I just assumed it was all in the county, I'll be honest.
You've got some friends?
I thought it was all in the maintenance program.
He's Danny's question that you have friends. Is there a problem there?
No, there's no problem. I mean, I do pay him a monthly fee.
Okay, we'll work on that next week. Thank you.
Okay. The last thing I have on my agenda today is to talk about Wednesday's paper that came out with an article. And two nights in a row I received phone calls at home, and there's just a buzz around the county that's, you know, people are concerned and fearful, and that's all. I'm just relaying what I hear.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I got an email from an employee wondering if we were going to cut our dental this year. And I don't think the comments were towards cutting it out for this year. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I didn't take it that way. I think that the total context of what was said and what was discussed was two different things than what was wrote in the paper. When we were talking about the health benefit deal, and then we got to talking about budget, and then we got to talking about cuts, and my conversation was that if you're going to operate, sometimes there would be cuts. I mean, I'm recorded as what I said, but I think it's in the way it's wrote in the paper is two or three different things. If you deficit spend for so many years, it's pretty soon operations have to cease existence. And I received some phone calls myself, and a lot of people talking about the condition of the county and what we're trying to do. I understand their concern. I mean, I visited with Road and Bridge, and some of those boys. We talk till we discuss the budget and find out exactly where we're at and what we're trying to accomplish. I think that we discuss possibilities, or let's use a different term, things that could happen in the future if we don't manage the monies that we have properly.
Let me chime in a little bit. I mean, I'm sure people are listening to us right now. I mean, part of any budget process is to brainstorm on any places we can reduce and have a roundtable discussion of all options.
That's right.
And that's why we have the meetings public. But, I mean, the fact is no decisions were made final. I mean, we threw a bunch of stuff out that one day, and Monday at, I think, 1 o'clock, we're going to have another budget discussion, and I hope people don't take that out of context either. But, I mean, since we are responsible, at least from my perspective, we've got to look at every option, and like Danny said just now, was we can deficit spend for a period of time because of the economic conditions and basically use some of the rainy day funds we have, but ultimately, if we don't see an end in these operational expenses, we do have to make cuts. And I hope it's not headcount, but, you know, everything has to be discussed at this point just so we can come up with what the right plan of action is.
It'd be irresponsible of us not to take into consideration every consideration that we have as far as budget spending. I mean, we're elected to a position to operate this county. And when we look at, I'm just using Road and Bridge because it's one easy one to use, is the equipment budget was cut $1 million last year. Can we afford to cut again this year? Well, maybe. We haven't looked at all that. But all these things are put on the table. That's what the budget hearings are for. And people get
excited. I mean, look at what happened in 2009. We had an open headcount in planning and zoning, but because of the conditions of the economy, we didn't backfill the position. So, I mean, we just have to be responsible, and I hope people aren't fearful. If everyone just does their job, we'll just keep on doing our job. But part of it is looking at the operational cost. So, I'm sure that we may want to say something again Monday morning just to kind of set the record straight, but we also have to be honest and open to say that we are looking at every option, but we're very early in the budget process.
Well, once again, to address the one email I've got, we've not talked about a need to do anything to this year's budget, this year's benefits, in other words.
That's correct.
All right. That's all I need for that concern.
Yeah, I responded to an email. I had a couple emails about it myself, and this year's budget set. I mean, and we're just looking at, we're going through the normal process. I mean, I wanted to know how many people use it. I mean, I'm going to request the information is how many people are actually using Delta Dental. So, I mean, it's just a normal question to ask about. I mean, if we're paying for a benefit or a service to the citizens, to our employees, and no one's using it, it'd be irresponsible for us to continue to pay for that benefit if no one's going to use it. So, unfortunately, I think a lot of people are nervous right now, and we don't have to do anything this year at all, and we're not going to, I don't think.
Okay. Glad Frank brought it up, but like you say, probably a good idea for the – try to address a little bit more maybe Monday.
Well, I had to, I would like to one continue one little old discussion about that. You know, I had and it happened to be a road and bridge employee, but we have had so much discussion about these lake access closings that I had a couple, one in particular, come and plead to me, don't let them shut our lake accesses down, Danny. Well, that was all from the letters that were put out there that were totally false, and you gentlemen know that have been in discussions with me about this, that I'm total support of keeping lake accesses open, but then I have road and bridge employees that misunderstand the information that's put out there by some individual and question me like I'm going to do something like that. Well, that's totally out of... the scope of my thinking. I mean, it's unreasonable in my case with children and grandchildren living in Taney County that I would want to close a lake access. So some of the things kind of get a little bit ridiculous, but you answer all questions that's brought forward. You've put everything on the table whenever you talk budget. And at that point, the final result will be when we sign the papers.
Okay. What else, Frank?
That's all I have.
We got Gary and Melissa sitting here. Would you like to get something?
Did you have a discussion on the mailroom coming up this morning at 11?
Or? We have postponed that till next Friday, Gary. We had some, okay. We need a little more research.
We'll see you next Friday.
Sorry, we didn't get that word to you.
It's all right, thank you.
All right, anything else we need to do under administrative? I guess we're good.
Okay.
Recess.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Jim.